everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN. Chris Meany here with you. You're watching on Game Plus Network or FTN YouTube page. Smash the like button. You have any comments, any questions, please leave them there in the YouTube section. We have actual games to talk about tonight in the NHL and on the hard court. Round three of the NBA playoffs tips off tonight. It is the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. The Celtics checking in as 2-point dogs. And round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs happens this evening. We have the Battle of Florida. The Panthers and the Lightning kick us off. And then we have the Colorado Avalanche, who've been off for about 8 days or so, you know, just kicking back, hands above the head, feet up, waiting for the next opponent, and it is the St. Louis Blues. We'll dive into those two matchups tonight. We'll also take a look at the other two series, Carolina and the New York Rangers, happening tomorrow. And then the Battle of Alberta, the first time since 1991. Calgary and Edmonton will go toe-to-toe in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's going to be a lot of hockey here on this show. We're going to dive into all four series, kind of break them down, give you my thoughts. I got some NHL picks for tonight's action, some shot props, some point props, where I think the offense may come from, some winners, hopefully, and also just some series props, as well as my thoughts on, you know, who I think will win each series. Dive into the NBA towards the end of the show. Also have some MLB picks and some props for you as well. No football here today, but a big shout out for Emery Hunt as well. And a couple people have reached out. We've had some issues, you know, on our YouTube page with the videos buffering. That should be fine if you want to go back and check that out. Emery was fantastic. We dove into the New York Giants. He was at the rookie mini camp a few days ago. He was just kind of giving us a sneak peek of some of the maybe underrated Giants players who could pop up from a fantasy standpoint and a real-life NFL standpoint. He gave us a sleeper team and a sleeper player. And last year, he did the same thing. It was Miles Sanders, who kind of struggled at times, but overall he was pretty productive. Like yards per carry, he was good. They finally started to gave him the ball. Like after the first few weeks of the season, it was quiet. You didn't even know that he was really on the team. But towards the end, he really picked up steam and the Eagles made the playoffs. So he was spot on considering everybody, including Vegas, counted the Eagles out. Nobody was counting them in. Nobody thought that they would make the playoffs. Like Vegas, I think, gave them the third worst or fourth worst odds. Longest odds to win the division. And of course they didn't, but they got into the playoffs. He liked Miami. Spoiler alert. He liked Miami. He liked Tua. Tagovailoa's taken a lot of criticism and heat from that video that Miami tweeted out. And it's partly on Miami. This is a social team. What are they doing? They're tweeting out a video of Tua. They know, they should know what the world is like today in social media. It's a place. It's not for everybody, I'll tell you that. You know, there's shots fired at everyone, you know, just making fun of everyone. It just seems like that's what everybody wants to do in the world these days, is make fun and poke fun at everybody. And Tua underthrew Tyreek Hill in, I don't know, it wasn't even a real practice. Guy was wearing shorts. Just like dropped back and underthrew Tyreek Hill. Even Patrick Mahomes underthrew Tyreek Hill over the past couple of years. Tyreek Hill's really good. He's really fast. And it may take some time for those two to find a connection and chemistry. I think Miami is actually a sleeper team. I loved the play. I loved the call from Emery Hunt. So you can go back and watch it if you want to. You can subscribe to this show on iTunes, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to your favorite podcasts. Dangle Betselli is already recorded. But if you are watching Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network, Dangle Betselli will appear on Game Plus Network today at 5 Eastern and again on Thursday at 5 Eastern. It was myself and Nick Alberga, NHL freelancer. He is the co-host of NHL on Ice, a fantasy podcast over at NHL.com. And he's given some you know, some shot props, some point props, just Stanley Cup playoff props over at Sportsnet.ca. So check him out at The Golden Muzzy. He hung out with me for about half the show. And then I was recapping some of my other picks. And again, that show also free over at FTNBets.com if you aren't subscribed over at Game Plus Network. And right here on our YouTube page as well. And wherever it is that you listen to your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Spotify. So again, a lot to get to here on today's show. We are going to take an early break. We're going to time this one out, hopefully perfectly. I'm just going to ride solo here with you today. Hopefully, I'm going to have somebody to talk some golf tomorrow, of course, as we got the PGA Championship getting underway on Thursday. If you are looking for some golf coverage, you know, Axis has been on here. I call him Axis. It's Brian DeCorte. Axis is the Twitter handle for him. I called another winner last week as well. The guy is absolutely red hot. Bogey free happening this evening. right here on our FTN YouTube page as well. I do believe it's going to be 8:30 Eastern. If you were subscribed to our FTN YouTube page, you can you'll get notified right away when the guys go live. And Alex Blickle and Jones in there as well. Matt Jones, almost called him David. We do have a David over at FTN. He's a sharp baseball mind. Matt Jones is a sharp golf mind, PGA mind. So they're going to dive into the tournament. And it's just, there's not a lot of feel, right? There's not a lot of like course history. It seems like when I was looking at some of the odds, there's some really good golfers with just some pretty solid odds, some really strong odds. So, you know, if you can nail one of these future bets for this tournament, may pay out pretty good. Hopefully tomorrow we'll have more. But again, check out Bogey Free. It is absolutely free over at FTNbets.com. All right, we'll take a quick break and we will dive into the hockey. Lots to get to here on the show. Keep her locked. Let's start here with the Battle of Florida. Game one gets underway tonight in Sunrise. We have the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. These are the series prices here. Florida checking in at -150. Use the free prop shop and parlay calculator over at FTNbets.com to get the best possible odds. You don't got to go surfing around to save yourself a little bit of time. As you see there on the bottom, there were a lot of goals scored in the four games that these two teams played. The season series was tied at 2. They each had a couple blowouts. Then there was a couple tight games in there as well. But ultimately, Florida did outscore Tampa 19-5 in the season series. These two teams played last year in round one, and I thought the Florida Panthers looked phenomenal. And that was kind of the moment for me where I thought that this team was kind of on the rise. You know, you face a little bit of adversity. I'm a big believer in, you have to learn how to lose before you learn how to win. You can go back to the Red Wings when they started to make some of their runs. They had lost, you know, a couple tough matchups in the playoffs before they really kind of got over the hump. The Pittsburgh Penguins, same sort of deal, right? You remember when they lost to the Detroit Red Wings in the finals, and then they went back to the finals the very next season. They had a young core with Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin. They had a couple of vets in there like Bill Guerin, a couple other dudes that they had on that squad. And they lost that matchup to the Detroit Red Wings. And then the very next year, they went back to the finals and played Detroit and found a way to beat them. Same sort of deal with the Washington Capitals. Learn how to lose before you learn how to win. A lot of tough losses over the years. And then they finally got over that hump, went on that run, and won the Stanley Cup. You can say the same thing about the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, just 3 years ago, they got bounced. Remember, they were the best team in the NHL? They had like a 60-plus wins, and then they got bounced in four. They got swept against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They played the Blue Jackets the very next season. And even I think that first game, they won in like three or four overtimes, and it got them going. It was a Braden Point goal that got them going. They start to feel a little bit looser. I know you hear me, Toronto fans. You're like, okay, is next year the year for the Leafs? You know, learn how to lose before you learn how to win. A lot of tough losses. And it could be, potentially. We saw the same thing with the Sharks. Now, they didn't win, but all those years, the Sharks had really good teams, and they kept that core together. And then they went to the Stanley Cup Finals against the Penguins, and they lost, but they finally got over that hump and they went on that run. I believe Florida learned a lot from that series last year against Tampa. I thought that they were the better team at 5-5. I thought what killed them was the goaltending. Now, it's the same two goalies. Andrei Vasilevskiy, who's an absolute beast and in between the pipes for the Bolts, and then Sergei Bobrovsky, who's been pretty good, actually. I think he's been fine so far in the playoffs, just the six games, but I thought he held his own. He looked okay. He had some big saves, some big moments in games 5 and game 6. So I like Florida here. I think Tampa's depleted. My original bracket had Tampa beating the Leafs in 7, but I had Florida beating Tampa Bay in this round. I was kind of back and forth. I still kind of am, honestly, in my own head if I want to go Florida 6 or Florida in 7. I think for tonight, I am in on the Panthers on home ice to take care of business. No Braden Point in this game. He's considered doubtful to play in this game. I don't know if we're going to see him at all in the playoffs, and that's a huge loss. It really is. He led the Bolts, and it wasn't even close. He led the Bolts in shot attempts, in scoring chances, in high-danger chances. The shot attempts are right there with Victor Hedman, I'll say that. But the high-danger chances, the expected goals for, according to Natural Stat Trick, it was Braden Point. And a lot of it was in the power play. He plays in that bumper spot right in the slot. They kind of play pitch and catch with Kucherov and Hedman, and then they go over to Point in the slot. that, and you know, that's why he's one of those guys that I usually take a look at for shot props and goals. And George's like, no, don't give me any Braden Point shot props. I want no part of it. He had two in game seven in the first period and then really didn't touch the ice the rest of the way due to that injury. I think that's a significant loss. And I think at times in that Tampa and Toronto series, the Leafs really pushed Tampa. They really did. I thought that they were the better team at 5-5. They ran into a hot goalie in game seven, kind of got in their own way towards the end of game six. But ultimately, the Bolts have played a lot of hockey over the past couple of seasons. Two deep runs in the Stanley Cup playoffs, shorter off seasons than normal with COVID in the bubble. And I think that a lot of it is caught up to them. Now, Florida does play a little loose, right? They still play a little loose defensively, and they give up a lot of high quality chances, and they didn't drive offense in round one like they did in the regular season. The playoffs are totally different. There's no question. I think the Capitals did a really good job of clogging up the neutral zone, eliminating those like counterattacks, and not letting Florida come at them in waves. The Braden Point loss is huge. It's significant in my opinion. Tonight, I do like the Panthers, and I kind of have a lean to the over. I think we'll see a lot of goals scored in this series, even without Braden Point. But I think the Panthers are a deeper team than the Leafs. Just look at their third line. Like, Sam Reinhart is a 30-goal scorer playing on the third line. It's just the depth that this team has. Carter Verhaeghe, 6 goals and 12 points. In the first round of the playoffs, he is playing on that top line with Alexander Barkov. Giroux started to click in that second line. Huberto was very quiet. How long can you keep him off the score sheet? I guess the same can be said for Nikita Kucherov. So that's the series odds. Towards the end of the show, going to recap all of my picks in the series and give you some series props. I don't know, George, if you have tonight's odds. It's not a big deal if you don't have it handy. But I do like Florida, and I am seeing them at minus 160 here tonight. Just want to take a little peek, just make sure that I am not on the bats, and I'm not on the bats as of right now. Minus 160 over at DraftKings for the Florida Panthers on home ice. They're the best team in the league on home ice. And Tampa just played a hard-fought seven-game series. Florida took care of business in six. They were able to go back home, sleep in their beds over the past couple nights. Honestly, it really is. When you're splitting hairs, the home ice advantage is key. It's probably the deciding factor for me in a lot of these series when you're picking them. And the 6.5 there is the total for this game. So I'd lean with the over and lean with Florida. I think we'll see a lot of offense in this series. Switching over to the other one that is happening this evening, we have... What is that game? What is that one? Oh, yeah. It's the Colorado Avalanche. Man, maybe I am on the bats here. Minus 380. The Avs are heavy, heavy, heavy favorites here. We're not going to get involved with this. I mean, there's some bonuses and some boosts out there. I saw somebody write in our Discord channel just earlier today that DraftKings was offering Colorado, Florida, and Carolina at plus 263. If you did Carolina and just, you know, Colorado alone, that's like minus 111. It's still not ideal. The Avs took care of St. Louis pretty easily last year, swept them. And they took care of Nashville pretty easily in the first round, swept them. This is a team that just seems like they are ready to go. As you see on the left side of the bracket there, you know, they've been favored to win the Stanley Cup in each of the last 3 years. They failed to get into the second round in each of the past two seasons. This is the round that has really kind of triggered them and has been their kryptonite over the past couple of seasons. But this is a team that can come at you in waves offensively. And the same can be said for the St. Louis Blues. I think this is going to be a high-scoring affair. I don't see Colorado winning in four. I don't see them really winning in five either. I think that this is going to be a series that goes at least six. There's a lot of value to be had if you think that, you know, this series could be done in six games or in seven games. And there even is some value if you just want to take the Avs at minus 160 to win in two games, or yeah, the series spread to win in six. Like if they had a 4-2 series win, then if you were on them to win minus 1.5 in the series spread, then that would be beneficial for you. A lot of offense. Obviously on the Colorado side of things, Nathan MacKinnon, unbelievable, 40 plus shot attempts and 29 shots in the four games. He had 5 goals. He was electric They were getting offense from the back end. Cale Makar, 10 points, the most ever from a defenseman in the first four games of a playoff series, past Paul Coffey. This is historic stuff, what Cale Makar is doing. He's logging a lot of ice time. He's highlight reel play after highlight reel. It just seems to be every single game he has a highlight reel play, generating offense from the back end. Devon Taves generating offense from the back end, had at least three shots in every game in that series as well. Valeri Nichushkin's been really good to us. I still think these guys are going to contribute offensively. Nichushkin, Nazem Kadri, Gabriel Landeskog didn't look like he missed a couple months. It didn't look like he missed a beat, right? He was just ready to go in that first round, and he was productive and scoring a lot of points. So he's another guy that you're going to want to have an eye on. But Ryan O'Reilly was really good, former Av. He was strong in the first round of the playoffs against Minnesota. He hit the score sheet, I think, in every game but one. His shot prop was plus money in every single game. He hit that in every game but two. And, you know, he was basically even money for a point. So I'm taking a look at some of those guys. David Perron to put the puck on net a few times. And also Jordan Kyrou is a little bit of a sneaky play. You know, he was bumped up, you know, at inside the top six moments. They got Vladimir Tarasenko going with that little bit of a line switch. So look for those two guys as sneaky, underrated plays. But again, we'll have some more series props that I do like, but I'll throw one at you right now. You're hanging out with us. Nathan McKinnon is plus 600 to lead this series in goals. We had him in the FTM Bet Tracker to lead the round one series in goals between them and the Nashville Predators. It was at plus 550. I actually find it very interesting to see that he is third in terms of odds to lead the series in goals. Mikko Rantanen is first at plus 450. And then you have Gabriel Landeskog at plus 550, and then McKinnon at plus 600. The way that McKinnon shoots the puck, like the 44 shot attempts in four games, I don't know how you can't go to him. Mikko Rantanen doesn't really shoot the puck. He's a pass-first guy, and he really doesn't, he's not a big volume shooter. You can also get Mikko Rantanen plus 100, or you can get McKinnon, rather, plus 100 to have more goals in this series than Mikko Rantanen. That's another bet that I like quite a bit, and it's just really all about volume, shot volume. One guy's a pass-first guy. One guy just loves to shoot the puck, and that's Nathan McKinnon. So I think this series, I don't think it's going to be over quick. I don't think it's going to be over quick. So I know a lot of people want to like look for dogs at St. Louis plus 290. It's tough, man. I just try to get winners here for you guys. I don't want to give you just dogs for the sake of giving you dogs, right? But you could get St. Louis here plus 1.5. Let's see. At plus 150, do you think the series is going to go 7? Right? That's something that I would rather do than get involved with, you know, St. Louis just to straight up win the series. Maybe you take them not to lose in 4, decent value, put it in a parlay, you know, series going 6, decent value, put it in a parlay, things like that. Just quickly here before we break, I did have it brought up. Yeah, so the series, you can get just the total games. If you think that this could go 6, and I do believe, plus 235. Now, if you think it goes the distance, plus 275. But for this series, Blues to win a couple games, maybe get one in Colorado, and then get one on home ice, then you're right there. And remember, the St. Louis team's only a couple years away, 2019, from winning the Stanley Cup. They made the switch halfway through against Minnesota. They moved to Jordan Binnington. He looked really good. He was a big reason why the Blues went on and won the Stanley Cup that season. I think ultimately, it's probably the reason they don't win this series is because of Binnington and the goaltending. That's the biggest question mark that I have with St. Louis. What kind of goaltending are they going to get? But I think they'll hang around, and I think they'll win a couple games. Plus, Colorado's had a lot of time off, too. Like, 8 days off is quite a lot of time to get right back into it. So those are the two games tonight. I would lean with the over. I'd lean with Colorado in the over and Florida in the over. And got a lot of bets from this matchup in the FTN Bet Tracker. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we will dive into the other two games happening in the NHL playoffs. Round two talk here next on Mean Streets. Welcome back in. Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network. George Z, Tiger paired with Rory and Jordan. Oh, baby. That's pretty cool. I like that, right? I am here for that. That is the round one pairing, Tiger, Rory, and Jordan. You kidding me? That's as good as it gets, is it not? I think that's as good as it gets. It's pretty darn good. I like that. I'll be glued to round one watching that stuff. There's no question. We'll try to have some golf talk here on Mean Streets tomorrow. I didn't get to have this rant yesterday, and it's not even really a rant. Pete DeBoer was fired yesterday from Vegas. Man, that guy. Oh, my gosh. I have issues. I have issues. Like, I don't understand why they fired Gerard Gallant. Why did they let him go? Why did he get fired by Florida? What's wrong with Gerard Gallant? All the guy does is win. He just wins. When he brought Vegas to the Stanley Cup Finals in their first year, and then I think brought him to the third round in the following year. See you later. Bounced. Why? Why did he get fired from Florida? He ended a lengthy streak of that team not making the playoffs. They were one of the better teams in the league when he was coaching them, and then he got let go from there was talk about just like an analytical standpoint. They wanted an analytical guy in there. And then he goes to the Rangers, and the Rangers were awful 2 years ago. They were brutal. I mean, they underachieved. They didn't get anything from their younger players. Gerard Gallant goes there, and they're a winner. I mean, they were so good this year in the regular season. They almost won the Metro. And they come back down 3-1 against the Penguins. The guy's a winner. I don't understand. Like, he was assistant coach for the Habs a few years ago, and I wanted them to keep him and not Michel Therrien, and they just let him go. Summerside boy, PEI boy, Gerard Gallant. Good on you. But Pete DeBoer, I didn't like the way that he handled Marc-Andre Fleury. I thought that he was a Robin Lehner guy, and they acquired Lehner, and then they extended him, and then they just played him over Fleury. I just Fleury was the guy for me, all the experience, and then they messed around with him again last year. So, like, back-to-back years kind of messing around. Pete DeBoer, I mean, I just think he's an overrated coach. So we'll see what the Vegas Golden Knights do. Barry Trotz is out there. There's a couple good coaches. Does Paul Maurice come back? Does he want to be a coach again in the NHL? There's a lot of good names out there that are available, but we'll see with Vegas. They're certainly an interesting squad. There's no reason for them to miss the playoffs, but there's a lot that went wrong with their squad this year in terms of injuries and everything. But they call Jack Eichel a coach killer, and he's already gotten one fired in Vegas. Jokes aside. All right, let's get into tonight. Well, we already got into tonight in the last segment. Let's get into tomorrow. Let's start with Carolina and the Rangers, George. This series here, Carolina won the season series, as you see there, 3-1. They outscored New York 14-10. The Rangers looked absolutely dead in the water. They were down 3-1, and they were just getting badly outplayed. They were really getting worked over. I think that they caught a break. I think that they caught a few breaks. One of the breaks I think that they caught was that Sidney Crosby suffered that injury in game 5 when they were up 2-0 halfway through the third. And then all of a sudden, Rangers, boom, 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 caught a couple goals. They get going, get some momentum, ended up winning that game. They go to Pittsburgh for game 6. No Sidney Crosby, you know, down, I think, 2-0 early to start. Come back, find a way to get back into that game, win the game. And then game 7 on their home ice. Again, down, found a way to come back, but really got the goaltending that I think we all expected that they would get from Igor Shesterkin. He was really good in game 1, then had some moments where he looked awful. He was pulled twice in the series, and then he kind of, you know, at the end of the day, and that's kind of why, that's really ultimately why I had the Rangers winning that series in 7, was Igor Shesterkin. I just thought he would be the deciding factor. I had some issues with the Rangers. They're 5-5 play, and you really saw it at moments of that series. According to Natural Stat Trick, the Penguins had like 60% share of the expected goals at 5-5. Like, they were really, really dominant at 5-5 play. And the Hurricanes are a better 5-5 team. So that's where I think the Rangers are going to get into trouble. Their special teams is fine. The power play is good. They got a better goaltender. You know, I don't know if we'll see Frederik Andersen here in this series. But ultimately, some of the statistics that I like here for Carolina, I wrote the article. It's free over at ftmbets.com. Now, it's previewing round one, but I put a lot of the team stats in there and some of the numbers that I look at when I'm deciding, you know, who I think will win here. And this is Carolina. So ninth in the NHL in goals for, number one in goals against, just 2.44, 2.97 goals for at 5-5 per 60. That was number 6. Goals against at 5-5 per 60, number 3, only 2.17. The league's best penalty kill in the NHL at 88%. They allowed the fifth fewest shots at 5-5 per 60. They allowed the third fewest shot attempts at 5-5 per 60. They generated the second most high danger chances at 5-5 per 60. That's shots inside the slot area where a majority of the goals happen. Again, this is all from Natural Stat Trick. And then shot attempts allowed 14th, or high danger chances allowed, rather. On the Rangers side of things, you know, guys, the same can't be said for this New York team. The special teams is really good. Goals for overall, 16th. Goals for at 5-5 per 60, 21st. Goals against, really good, right there with Carolina, number two. Carolina was number one, they're number two. Goals against at 5-5 per 60, number four. Power play, number four. PK, number seven. And this is kind of where it, you know, kind of tapers off for me. The Rangers shots for at 5-5 per 60, number 30. Number 30 out of 32 teams, 30th. And the Carolina Hurricanes, all they do is put pucks on net at 5-5. Shots against Rangers, kind of middle of the pack, 14. High danger chances for at 5-5 created by the Rangers, 20th. High danger chances allowed at 5-5 per 60, 24th. I think Carolina is just a better 5-5 team. Special teams certainly does matter, but you got the league's best penalty kill to go along with the strong 5-5 play that they have. Clearly dominant on home ice, won all four games in the series on home ice as well. I like Carolina to win this series. A lean six. I think a lot of people are kind of discrediting the Rangers, which is probably unfair considering they do have a Hart nominee goalie in Igor Shesterkin who can really kind of save their bacon. Could get them a couple wins in this series, maybe steal one or two games. But I like the Hurricanes. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring series. I think it's going to be a low-scoring series. There's a lot of different fun revenge factors in this series. Tony DeAngelo up against his former squad. There's a lot of that happening here in round two of the playoffs. If you thought DeAngelo was really feeling the heat in round one in Boston, he's going to really feel it in round two. How do the Rangers beat the Canes in the series? The Daily Handle. I just told you, dude. It's Igor Shesterkin. That's how they do it. That's probably the only way that they get it done. I liked what I saw from Mika Zibanejad towards the end of the series. You got some moments from Alexei Lafreniere. Shesterkin obviously gave you some moments towards the end. They get some really good playoffs. But if they somehow pull it off, that's it. That would be how. It would be the goaltending from Igor Shesterkin. And I really discredited Carolina in the first round, and I'm kicking myself. I had that series going seven. I picked the Bruins in seven. It was really just because of Frederik Andersen, how he wasn't going to be available, and that was the deciding factor for me. We have a Stanley Cup future in the Hurricanes from November, I believe at 14-1 to win the Cup. I think that they're a scary team, and they look really good, and they found a way to win that first round without Andersen and getting goaltending from Antti Raanta. And again, they just don't give up a whole lot, so I kind of have this lean to the Carolina Hurricanes. It's actually the one series that I feel the most confident about. Take that with a grain of salt if you want. It's the one that I feel the best about is Carolina getting this one done in six. The other one, whew, it should be real good. I think this is going to be the best series in round two, maybe of all the playoffs, hopefully, right? Maybe we overhyping it just a little bit here, but we have the Battle of Alberta. This is the first time these two teams have played in the Stanley Cup playoffs since 1991. The Oilers defeated the Flames in 83, 84, 88, and 91 on their way to two of their five cups. Of course, they were very, very dominant in the 80s, and the Flames had some of their moments as well in 86 and 89, I do believe, against the Habs. I was just a baby then, so I know that they lost to, like, Nieuwendyk, and Gilmore was on that squad, and Al MacInnis. There's some really good teams. But this should be highly, highly entertaining. You saw the board. There was a lot of offense scored in that series. One thing I did want to say about Carolina and the Rangers, those two teams play towards the end of the regular season. I had it here. So New York, it was April 12th at MSG. It was a 4-2 win from Carolina. And Metro was on the line. The Metro division was on the line. Carolina had it by like a couple points. Everybody was playing on both sides. And they were really just, you know, the winner of that game really just won the division. And then there was another one at April 26th. Not as much on the line. But we did have a Rangers, Carolina Hurricanes win at MSG again, 4-3. So there's a little bit of just recency with these two teams playing and kind of playoff hockey, playing for the division, playing for home ice, and Carolina did dominate both of those games. All right, so as for Edmonton and Calgary, I don't think that this series is going to be, like, if you watch the Flames and the Stars and you felt like you were kind of put to sleep a little bit with some of the games, I mean, you couldn't have fallen asleep at Game 7. It was just unbelievable. But Dallas just plays to that kind of style. They play tight. They don't give a whole lot. The Flames kind of play like that as well, but they can open up and go toe-to-toe if you want to play that style with them. They certainly can do that. They've shown that this season. And they had a lot of shot attempts. They own the play at 5-5. They really dominated that series against Dallas. Jake Oettinger was fantastic. Mike Smith has been really good, too, here in the playoffs. Got two shutouts. He's been phenomenal. He's been really, really strong. A little bit of a revenge factor for him going up against the team that he spent a couple minutes with in Calgary. But I like the Flames here. And I think this goes the distance, though. I think we'll see 7 games in this series. Give you the odds on that in the next block here. But I think we'll see some offense. It's going to be highly entertaining. It's going to be very physical. There's going to be a lot of goal scoring here. Leon Draisaitl, I don't believe he's 100%. There's a lot of guys that are playing through things, especially at this time of the season, but I think that will ultimately be the deciding factor for me. I like this Flames team. You guys know this, not breaking any news. We're in on them to win the cup is like 25-1, right around the time that they got Tyler Toffoli in February, like the addition of Cale Järnkrok. I think if you were backing the Flames, there was moments in that series against Dallas where you were thinking, not feeling too good about this future right now. Like they really did just squeak by against Dallas. But they're just such a strong team to play 5-5. There's a couple games here this year where they played the Edmonton Oilers, and there was a lot of offense. How about the 9-5 win from Calgary earlier in the season? That was in March. 9-5, a lot of goals scored. I don't know if we'll get that here in the playoffs, but we're not going to get a lot of 1-0, 2-1. Like, we were hammering unders in that Calgary and Edmonton and Calgary and Dallas series. The final game was 5. The total was 5 at minus 130. I still lean with the under. Got the push. I think we'll see some offense. This game 1 is happening tomorrow. The total's at 6 in some spots. Other spots, 6.5. I jump on it now and just get the over 6. I like getting the over 6 as opposed to the over 6.5. We'll break. We're going to continue the talk. I'm going to give you some picks on paper here. Some series picks, some series prop plays, and also dive into tonight's action in the NHL with those two games that are happening, the Florida and Tampa game and the Colorado and St. Louis game. I got some shot props and some point props as well. Overs in Edmonton and Calgary. I am so jealous of a lot of my boys that are out there. I used to live in Red Deer a few years ago. I worked in the oil patch between jobs before I went to Anthem Sports and Entertainment, worked at Fantasy Sports Network. And Red Deer is right in between of Edmonton and Calgary, and I got both of it. In 2004, the Flames went to the finals, and it was Red Mile, and it was electric. It was fantastic. I didn't get the chance to go to watch a game at the Saddle Dome, but it was, I mean, just unbelievable atmosphere. So cool. And then 2 years later, the Oilers went to the Stanley Cup Finals against the Carolina Hurricanes, and it was White Ave, and it was also phenomenal. I get chills just thinking about how electric it was, and just both fan bases just being really, really passionate, and how they're so close together. And a lot of my boys that live in Red Deer, they're gonna have experience going to both games and checking out both atmospheres, and it should be highly, highly entertaining. And if you're a hockey fan, I think this is what you wanted. Hopefully it doesn't disappoint. I've pumped it up quite a bit, haven't I? I think we'll see really, really phenomenal hockey between the Flames and the Oilers. Okay, quick break, and we will dive into some of the picks for this evening. Keep her locked. Welcome back in Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network, or FTN YouTube page. Let's start here, George, with tonight's games, the shot props for tonight's games. I do believe we have Nikita Kucherov on that board, and we do have Nathan MacKinnon. There we go. So some picks for this evening. So Nathan MacKinnon over 4.5 shots. I mentioned earlier in the show and just like what he did in that first round, he had 29 shots and 44 shot attempts. Nathan MacKinnon, right? 4.5 shots. Seems a little high, but I mean, how could you not go to it? How could you not hammer home Nathan MacKinnon for the shot props? 4.5. He's just on the ice all the time, playing in all situations. He does seem like a guy who is has heard all the noise about getting bounced in the second round, and he's just really shooting the puck quite a bit. So that's where I'm starting. I know there's only 2 games. It's tough to take that one as a single. I think minus 120, I think, is okay for a price. But as you see on the board, you can mix and match here with some of these games. Like from the Colorado standpoint, Nathan MacKinnon, 4.5. Valeri Nichushkin. Nichushkin cleared 2.5 shots in all 4 games in the playoffs, 3, 7, 4, and 6. And Nichushkin really overall, if you go back to the regular season, he cleared in his last 7 regular season games. And he just again, if you include the 7 and then the 4, it's 11 straight. But a lot of those games, he had 4 shots. He had at least 4 shots in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of those 11 games. So not only is he clearing 2.5, he's clearing 3.5. So he's playing on that top line with Nathan McKinnon. They drive a lot of offense. I mentioned Mikko Rantanen. Rantanen's that pass-first guy. So I'm looking at those two volume shooters on that top line for McKinnon and for Valeri Nichushkin. So I would start there. Nikita Kucherov at 2.5. Again, a lot of these guys are, you know, their books are kind of adjusting here in the playoffs. The price is a little steep for Kucherov. I think it's minus 170. You can get minus 165. But I feel like with no Braden Point, this guy shoots the puck a little bit more. Two Tampa players I would look at tonight and in this series, if Point is going to be sidelined, would be Nikita Kucherov and Victor Hedman, to put these guys into parlays with maybe Mikko Rantanen or with McKinnon and Nichushkin. Or if you're looking for longer, you know, shots, like plus money, maybe you can find Nick Paul in there, Ross Colton 2.5. Andre Palat sometimes is at 1.5. Obviously, Stamkos is a guy that you could look at. These guys are probably going to shoot the puck a little bit more. The Tampa power play may change. Like, Kucherov is a pass-first guy. That's why I have some issues really taking him. But with no Point, maybe he shoots a little bit more on that power play. Maybe Palat gets a few more opportunities on that power play. Maybe he is slotted in there. Anthony Cirelli's another guy that maybe you can take a look at. But there's going to be some secondary, third players, like guys that are on the third line, that are just going to get more opportunity with Braden Point. And I don't know. Like, I don't know when we'll see Point. I wouldn't be shocked if we didn't see him at all. We're certainly not going to see him tonight, as he is doubtful. So a couple other ones there that were on that board. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly does stand out to me, plus money for 2.5 shots. He didn't clear in the last two in that first round against Minnesota, but he was stuck on two. He's been really, really good to us here throughout the playoffs. You see there on the score sheet, you know, to hit the score sheet tonight, not only to have the 2.5 shots cleared, but also a guy to, you know, get some points here tonight. And Colorado, you know, yeah, they're a juggernaut. They can score a lot of goals. Nobody's going to be shocked if they score 5 or 6. They average 5 here throughout the playoffs. But they do give up a lot, too. So they give up some goals, give up some quality chances. 5 goals and 8 points for Ryan O'Reilly in those 6 games against Minnesota. So he played really good. He's going to be playing a lot, right? He's going to be 20-plus minutes, playing in all situations. 23-54 is what he played in the final game. He's got goals in 4 straight here, and he had 5, as I mentioned, in that first round. So Ryan O'Reilly, plus money for 2.5 shots. I think David Perron's also in play. Just didn't want to put too much here on the board for that guy. George does so much for me. Ryan O'Reilly, to have a point and to have 2.5, to have 3 shots. And then you see on the bottom, I liked Colorado and the over in that Colorado and St. Louis game. I think we'll see a lot of offense there, and just taking the Florida Panthers on home ice. And then Carter Verhaeghe was also on that sheet. So Ryan O'Reilly was minus 125 for a point. Verhaeghe's minus 130 for a point. I know that this is a bit of a tougher matchup in terms of going against the Bolts and Andre Vasilevskiy, but this is kind of like heat check time with Carter Verhaeghe. 6 goals and 12 points in the opening round, playing with Barkov. He had an overtime winner. He just looked like a guy that was playing with a lot of confidence, and he's feeling it right now. And I love the fact that he is playing with Barkov, who is a pass first guy. So we're just asking for Carter Verhaeghe to have a point here tonight, just kind of keep it going. So that's kind of where I'm at for tonight's action. Devon Taves is a guy that I had on the board, and I erased him because, again, I just didn't want to give too much. But he's also plus money for 2.5 shots, and the guys are pretty sharp. A shout out Adam Rankamp, who joined the show on Dangle Bet Sell. He said it was one of his favorite bets. The more I looked into it, the more I liked it as well. I don't know how much offense he's going to be able to drive from the back end in this series, but he did have at least 3 shots in all 4 games in the opening round, and he does log a lot of ice time as well with some of these defensemen. Better price than Cale Makar, but I would go with Makar. But if you're taking a single, I do believe you go that route and you take Devon Taves. All right, so some other ones, some series picks. This is what I'm thinking here for the series. I was back and forth on Florida all morning, actually, to win in 6 or to win in 7. My original bracket, like I said earlier, Florida, I expected them to beat Tampa. It's not going to be easy, of course. You got the 2-time defending Stanley Cup champs here. They've just played so much hockey. The Braden Point factor is huge for me. I think Florida is a little bit deeper. I like the fact they got home ice here. I think they learned a thing or two from playing Tampa Bay last year. I like Florida here to go on a run. I know they haven't looked fantastic here in the playoffs, but I think they face a little bit of adversity in that opening round. Down 1-0 against the Caps, down 2-1 against the Caps, finding a way. It looked like they were going to go down 3-1. They scored a late goal. Sam Reinhart, Verhaeghe won in overtime, go back home, take care of business, come from behind, win again. They were down 3-0, remember, in that game. So they faced some adversity in round one. They overcame it. Maybe they're going a little bit of a roll now. So I like Florida. As you see on the board, I like Carolina here to win. You get Carolina plus 110 to win by two games. You get Colorado, so the minus 170. You've got to put that into a parlay or something. It's a little steep. Or you can get involved with the series, maybe going six games at plus money or seven games at plus money. And then I do like the Flames to take care of business against the Oilers. But I just, overall, this is just a single prop, series prop. Plus 210 for the series to go seven games. I think the Oilers will hang around and do their part as well. And then I believe we had one more, George. One more with just some series goals. So this kind of worked out for us in the opening round. We had McKinnon at plus 550. We had Kirill Kaprizov at plus 380. We had Evander Kane at plus 750 to lead the series in goals. And I think we had one more. It doesn't matter. But McKinnon here at plus 600. I just, again, let me hammer home the McKinnon you see on the bottom there. So McKinnon to lead the series in goals at 6-1. Rantanen is favored, and Landeskog is next. And then look at this single prop on the bottom. McKinnon more goals than Rantanen at plus 100. Are you kidding me? I love that. You know how many shots, and I love Mikko Rantanen. I think he's phenomenal. You know how many shots he had in the first round? Six shots. McKinnon had 29. Rantanen only had 18 attempts, and McKinnon had 44. Give me the guy that shoots the puck all the time. Plus 100 for that. I like Evander Kane. Same sort of deal here. Evander Kane third in the playoffs in shots with 35. Pasternak and Gensel, number one with 39. Those guys are bounced. They're done. Evander Kane, the shot attempts were really there for him as well. He had 51 shot attempts. Only Pasta, Matthews, McDavid, and Gensel, as well as Kaprizov, had more shot attempts than Evander Kane in that opening round. Loves to shoot the puck. Toffoli was starting to shoot a little bit more, and it's an easier matchup for him maybe to find the back of the net. But give me Evander Kane and all those shot attempts at minus 120 to have more goals than Tyler Toffoli. Got Carter Verhaeghe as a little bit of a long shot to lead the series in goals at 0.25 units. I think Claude Giroux at 17-1, also 0.25 is in play. And I was back and forth on Elias Lindholm or Johnny Hockey, but I do like Elias Lindholm. He did have 3 goals in the series. Not a lot of offense in that first series. Like I said, things will change here a little bit. So I like Elias Lindholm at 7-1. And if you are looking again, Kane's like 11-1. This is a pretty decent odds again for him to lead the series in goals like he did in round one. We'll take a quick break. We'll switch gears. We got some MLB picks here for you next. Welcome back in. A handful of games around the diamond. A couple MLB picks here. There's a lot of action happening this afternoon. I wanted to give you a couple props that I liked this afternoon. But if you're watching here on Game Plus at 2 Eastern, the game's already started. So what good is that? So I got the Boston Red Sox here to win, minus 120. A big W from them last night, 6-3 win against Houston. And they're starting to come around a little bit, right? I mean, this team is too good offensively to not score runs. They've won 4 of their last 6. They've scored 6-plus runs in 4 of those wins. They hit a 7 spot, I think, in 2 games. They had an 11 spot over the weekend against Texas. So they're starting to score more offensively. They got their guy, their ace on the mound today, Nate Eovaldi, up against Jose Urquidy. And you see Urquidy on the board under 4.5 strikeouts. You know, he's got 19 strikeouts in 28 2/3. He's had 3 or fewer strikeouts in 5 of his 6 starts. He's got a 5.97 K per 9. He's a good real-life pitcher. He's just not a great, like, strikeout guy or fantasy guy because he doesn't, you know, he doesn't have the swing and miss in his arsenal. He's got an 83% contact rate so far this season. It's one of the highest marks in baseball, and to me, that's a red flag. Last year, it was 77.5%. He was never really a big strikeout guy. Last year, 7K per 9. That's not phenomenal. That's not great numbers. The Red Sox make a lot of contact. Their bats are heating up here a little bit, and they got some guys who hit righties pretty well. Yesterday, when I was diving into it, Xander Bogaerts was second in baseball in hits against right-handed pitching. You also had Rafael Devers in the top 10 in hits against righties, and then you had J.D. Martinez inside the top 15. So there's 3 Red Sox hitters in the top 15 in hits against righties, and it continued. It was a trend that continued yesterday. You had Xander Bogaerts had a big day. He had a bomb. So these bats are starting to come around. Warmer weather at Fenway. I like the Red Sox here against the Astros, and I like the under equity 4.5 strikeouts. The other game I'm going to are the Halos and the Texas Rangers. I like the over here. We have Detmers and Taylor Hurd. Hurd checks in with a 5.26 ERA. The Angels are top 10 in a lot of offensive metrics, including top 10 in WOBA against Southpaws, and also Texas kind of in the middle of the pack in WOBA against Southpaws as well. Now, Reed Detmers, the last time we saw him, he had a no-hitter. Typically, and I don't have a lot of numbers to back this up, but typically when you have a no-hitter and you go deeper into ball games, you kind of struggle in the next game. So there could be a little bit of that going on in Reed Detmers' game. He's been okay. He's another guy that doesn't have a lot of swing and miss in his game. And just, I'm kind of following a trend here with some of these games. So Texas and the Angels have played 5 times this season. 10-5, 9-6, 7-2, 8-3, last night 7-4. They've all cruised over that number, 8.5. So I'm going to take that over 8.5 here. One more segment on Mean Streets. Let's take a quick little look at the NBA playoff action. We'll take a look at the two series. Welcome back one final time. So round 3 of the NBA playoffs gets underway. It's Miami and Boston here. You see the series prices. Minus 180 for the Celtics. It's actually moved now to minus 185. And the Golden State Warriors, it's come down a little bit at minus 185 here. So I think some people are really kind of hammering the Mavericks. And then you see on the right there, the Warriors are favored to win the NBA championship. I'm going to hedge my Boston Celtics 50-1 or 40-1 NBA championship bet with Golden State. Why not? I feel like those are the two teams that do win the series. So you can get Boston and Golden State to win the series, both of their series at plus 122. I like Boston on the series spread to win in 6. You can get that at plus 100 for them just to win by 2 games. And then the Mavs, I think that series will go 7. The Mavericks played the Warriors pretty tight. There were some moments where Memphis played the Warriors pretty tight, even without Ja. The Daily Handle, you just don't like the Celtics, dude. You don't like the Celtics. You got to jump on board with Boston, man. And then the Mavs, I think at plus, you can get them at minus 135 to in the series spread at plus 1.5. So them to kind of hang around in the series. Maybe my favorite bet for the entire, this whole round would be Steph Curry at plus 120 to lead the series against the Mavs in threes made. Right? How could you not go with Steph? Hopefully you guys enjoyed the series, or enjoyed the show, and you enjoyed the series. Bats. Ooh, a Zamboni bat. Love that. Enjoy the hockey. Enjoy the basketball. Good luck around the diamond. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Cheers.